The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I was in Cambodia, walking on the streets in Phnom Penh at nighttime, and I literally almost stumbled, almost tripped over babies on cardboard. I know, like in Bangladesh, I interviewed in a brothel there. 8 out of 10 of the moms said the baby's on the bed with me as I'm working.
Gosh.
Right? And they immediately said, it's not uncommon for a client to finish with me and roll over and molest my toddler.
Sarah Bowling cares for babies in deplorable environments. Next.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. I had an interesting conversation with a woman that I'd never met until today, actually, talking about a book that she was writing and asking me if I'd write the foreword. And the more she talked, the more I thought, I don't care what's on my schedule, I'm moving off my schedule, because what she's doing and who she is so important, and we have her today with us. So please welcome Sarah Bowling. And this is the amazing new book. It's called Hanging by a Thread, The Saving Moses Journey. Now, I'll just give a wee bit of background, first of all. Your mom is Marilyn Hickey, who is a legend in the faith.
True.
Still serving God and speaking all sorts of places.
Yep.
But I wanted to ask you, when were your eyes open to your own particular calling in life?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think it's a little bit exploring it, even year by year. And so I think I love teaching. I found out I like teaching. Did that, started in my early 20s doing that. Love the Bible, always did. I don't know where and how I got that, but kind of tongue in cheek, because I think partly because of my mom, but I think kind of Holy Spirit too.
Yeah.
And started teaching the Bible, felt called to that. And reluctantly, because I was like, hey, I don't want to do that stuff. Ugh, that's for her, not me. But then the work with Saving Moses, that was a bit of a journey, an experiment. And I just kind of just started trying stuff. What do I like? What resonates in my heart? What do I feel passionate about?
So did you travel abroad somewhere to see if anything hit you?
I did. I started in the journey here with our book. I talk about my first trip. I've traveled ever since I was 5. So I was on a team, leading a team to Ethiopia, and found some, we stumbled across babies in an orphanage, newborns that had been abandoned on a field.
Wow.
And the orphanage initially said, no, we can't take the babies. And the police who rang them said, if you don't take them, we have to put them back on the field because we have no other place. And so I met them, and I held them in my arms. And their names were Sarah and Ruth. And I just was a puddle, because I was like, I just, you know, newborn twin girls.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was kind of, and I couldn't get that out of my head. I was like, you know, so I started exploring and just traveling and looking at different things. What makes me passionate? And I think what really lit me up was going to Angola. Mm. A baby. My photographer donated blood for this little girl.
Wow.
We thought we landed on the scene right just in time, American saviors. And she died. Mm. And I just was unraveled by that. I mean, a good solid 2 months, I was completely unraveled by it. Because, you know, that's not my normal.
But you didn't, the interesting thing though, Sarah, is you didn't turn away because of that. Because sometimes situations become so overwhelming that you think, you know what, I'll go serve somewhere else.
Yeah.
How did a whole ministry come out of the unraveling?
They need malnutrition formula. And so I just said, how much is that? You know, if we could prevent this, which we can. And they said, well, you know, it's $100,000. I'm like, I'm in. That's impulsive, but that's what I did. And then I came home, and my mom was like, well, I'm not paying for that. And my husband, he pastored, we're not paying for it either. And my friend's like, you got a lot of bake sales in front of you. That's $8,000 a month. And I'm like, I know.
So where did you start?
So I thought, I didn't know what to do, because I don't have a website. I mean, this is like, exactly, like this lunacy. But I remember I made the commitment like in December, And in February, I'm in the back parking lot of my kid's school, waiting to collect them, in the carpool line. And I get a phone call from the office, some random person, and they said, "Hey, Sarah, this lady," and I'll never forget her name. I mean, I still call her from time to time just to say, "Hey, how are you, Jane?" And she donated $110,000.
Wow.
And I remember when I got that, I just started crying in the car because I was like, I felt like God said, "I got you, Sarah."
Wow.
And I thought, well, okay, let's keep going, so that's kind of, and it was really, really supernatural divine confirmation. I mean, full on.
Because I'll never forget my first time in a malnutrition clinic in Angola, but it's as if God opens our eyes to different things depending on who we are and what our calling is, because your particular kind of passion is for really little ones.
Yeah.
There was one point, I think I read, where was it UNICEF? Yeah, withdrew their support.
Yep. So 0 to 5, that's my niche.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's totally my niche. And what I found is there's not one organization that's devoted to that age base.
Wow.
And so I'm like, sign me up. I want that. I want 0 to 5. Give me that. That's my sweet spot. And I figure if I can do that, then everybody else gets a good head start because I own that. And I'm all over that. So exactly. UNICEF has said, "We're not doing it anymore." And I'm like, okay, I'll do it.
So how do you go from thinking, okay, I'm owning it, I'm all in, to actually physically setting up and doing it? How do you do that?
Yeah, that's part of that, the journey in this. And a little bit is you try it and you stub your toe. You stub your toe and you like learn a little bit and this works and that word, this doesn't work. And finding really good people that you can trust on the ground in the field to make sure that, okay, the milk gets distributed right, measured, it goes to the need, to the beneficiaries, the people who need it the most.
Right.
So, and then the other thing that we've done too is we feed the moms in those clinics. Right? So that clinic that you visited, those moms often leave because there's no food for the moms, of course.
Wow.
Moms have to feed themselves. So we said, well, if we want to keep the moms there so that the babies will stay the whole time, then we got to feed the moms. So we started doing that too. Then that way the babies can get the whole benefit of all the malnutrition formula, the whole scheme of it.
Do you now take the formula actually to the villages so those babies never end up in the malnutrition clinics?
See, now that's a great question because they communicated within the last few months, "Hey, Sarah, we want to do that." Preventative instead of remedy.
Right.
And so I said, okay, let's do that. But to do that, I was like, that cost, and they were telling me the uptick on the money, and I'm like, that's exciting. Maybe we can't do that full in 1 year, but incrementally, that's our end game.
Where are you, Jane, when we need you?
Exactly. Come out, Jane.
So what are you seeing happening through Saving Moses now?
So with the malnutrition, we've expanded. So we're in Angola, 6 malnutrition clinics there, and then we're also now in the DRC. Democratic Republic of Congo, on the east side, where they just finished up that Ebola outbreak, So we have a clinic there as well. And that clinic it was hard last year, of course, because it was, Ebola. But, so we've expanded there. And that's been really good, really good. I haven't been able to get there because they're like, Ebola. I don't really want Ebola.
No, very few of us do, actually, One of the statistics in your book was fascinating to me. I didn't know that that Afghanistan has the highest rate of infant mortality?
Yep. And that's recorded. So they go in and that they actually can measure that. But they consistently, year after year after year, have the highest because of the instability. I think two combinations, military and political instability and the lack of education. So, for example, I heard this story. We went in to do some training into the rural areas, and there was a dad that we were training on how to deliver a baby safely. And when we gave the training to the dad said, he's like, "If I had known what you told me, I would have 4 children still alive now."
Wow.
Right? They don't know when a baby's born not breathing, slap the butt to kind of get it to breathe. They don't do that. They when the baby's not breathing, they put it in the corner because it's dead. That's what they think.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? I know.
So this whole thing must be like just this huge learning curve all the time. It's like, didn't think of that.
Yeah, the lights go on and you just think, these are easy buttons. These are easy buttons. They're not like rocket science. We don't have to have calculus degrees to do this. I mean, this is like just with a compassionate heart. Mm. That's it.
Now, your book is divided into two because you talk about working in malnutrition clinics, but then you talk about something that's really close to my heart. In fact, to Janice, our photographer, and me, I think, you know, our Rescue Life program where we work with girls.
Yes.
Who are caught up in sex trafficking is something that's just kind of carved into my soul. But you are doing something completely different called night care. How did you even discover that that was something that was so desperately needed?
Right, because nobody's doing night care. So I watched a documentary. A British photographer came to a brothel in India and wanted to take pictures in the brothel, and the brothel wouldn't let her. So she made friends with some of the kids from the women in the brothel and gave them disposable cameras.
Wow.
And those kids went in and took pictures. So I watched that documentary because I was like, wow, you know. And in that, I saw a toddler who was chained to a rail. And right when I saw that, I was like, what do they have? What happens to these babies?
Yeah.
Right? Because there's baby. There's this industry facilitates babies. So what do we? What happens to them while their moms are working? I mean, what do they do? And so that was kind of my first epiphany. Like, oh my goodness, we have to do night care. We have to do night care because these babies and toddlers are right in the thick of the entire industry.
So I didn't even think. Of that, although when I think back in our last trip, I remember seeing a couple of children just kind of in little hammocks, just
mm-hmm. exactly.
And I looked to see where their families were, and there was no one. So just to help our viewers understand, that's like when these girls go to work at night and they have little children, what had been happening to these children?
So depending on where, I was in Cambodia walking on the streets in Phnom Penh at nighttime, mm-hmm. and I literally almost tripped over babies on cardboard on the street, not attended by their mom. Nobody's around. They're just on the street and the rain is raining on them and they're sleeping. And I'm like, so the babies are like, you know, kind of put someplace safe. I know like in Bangladesh, I interviewed in a brothel there, 8 out of 10 of the moms said the baby's on the bed with me. As I'm working.
Gosh.
Right? And they immediately said, it's not uncommon for a client to finish with me and roll over and molest my toddler. So that's kind of their normal. And so I more moms that I met, one gave me, like, handed me this twine, like a whole thing of twine, and said, I tie this to my toddler's ankle and to myself so that I don't lose my toddler while I'm working. Because the other one, another mom had said to me, I lost my baby. I'm like, you know, maybe a miscarriage or something. And she said, no. I was working. I set my little 16-month-old in a space where I thought she would be safe. And after I finished working, I came back to get her and she was gone. Well, I never found her again. I lost her.
Gosh.
And so when I hear that, you know, and I think babies and toddlers, I mean, that's in the thick of desperate need.
So when you open up your first night care clinic, how did you get the moms to trust you and to bring their children?
Yeah, that's a learning curve. Because initially I thought they'd fled in, you know, and then I was like, oh, brilliant, blinding flash of the obvious. They don't trust you. Why don't they? Well, duh, Sarah, you're an idiot. And I'm like, okay. So what I did was we were consistent. Mm. We did what we said. We invited the moms, we invited the whole community, come in, see what we do, explore, you know, we'll have an open house.
Right.
And we'll give you biscuits, cookies, whatever. And you can meet the nannies who work here and do, you know, just to build trust.
Yeah.
And then we went into their neighborhoods and interviewed the moms there, and the nannies would come, and so created relationships and connections.
Did you find some of the moms who were not willing to bring their children? And if so, why would they not?
They didn't trust us.
Yeah.
So they're like, hey, and the questions they asked, are you going to sell my baby?
Wow.
Are you going to kill my baby and sell the parts? Like, are you going to sell my baby's liver? Because they had heard these horror stories, like for medical income, you know. And what are you going to do? You know, are you going to hurt my baby? And so these were some of the hurdles. They were questions. And I was like, what kind of, I didn't understand. I couldn't fathom. But this is their reality.
What are some of the stories? What have you seen happening among some of the little ones and their moms?
Yeah, so great. So, so great. So one of the things, we had one little girl, she would come consistently all the time to night care. And her mom came and talked with us and said, you know, because in Cambodia we were able to pray with our babies and, you know, and have little circle time, tell them about Jesus. And this little three-year-old, that's about how old she would go home and pray for her mom.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And then my mom came and said, you know, I really appreciate her prayers. Can you tell me more about what she's doing? So that has been phenomenal. I mean, phenomenal. And you get to see some of that transition a little bit. And then sometimes for our moms, when they ask us, because some of them, they want to get out of the industry. So, and we can bridge them to other organizations. We're not a one-stop shop, you know? I mean, we'll do the babies and toddlers, but everybody's partnership. Everybody works together.
What do you think, what's the greatest challenge that's facing your ministry at the moment, and how can our viewers help you?
I think one of the things, simple things, is just doing raising awareness. So lots of social media places where you can share posts and do all that. Of course, finances are always helpful. We take a team every July, and if somebody wants to come, there's an application process. We bring people to Cambodia on a team trip.
Wow.
Yeah, a limited amount, 20 people, I cap it.
Yeah.
And again, it's an application, so we don't just say yes to everybody for obvious reasons.
Sure.
So those are some cool ways to get involved.
What do you see as the future of night care? I mean, is your plan or hope to just expand to different different places?
Yeah, multiple countries, because when I start getting looking at it, and I see the need. I mean, we've already scoped out another 3 to 5 countries that we want to open in, and then we also want to open in Africa as well, because the need in Africa, people don't think of that, but I've heard the statistics, and I plan to go and see. And so when I go and see these places, like I was outside of Bangkok too, just a couple months ago, and saw, and I was like, oh, right, this takes your breath away.
I'm thinking of just our regular, normal viewer, you know, mom who loves her kids, and it's like this is another world. It's like this is, it's horrifying, the kind of, but you obviously believe that this is how to be Jesus' hands and feet to those who are desperate and who are alone. Do you see many of the moms or the people you work with impacted by the love of God because of the practical help?
Yes, because when you love their baby, as a mom,
sure.
You and me, right?
Yeah,
we're moms.
Yeah.
You love on my kid, you got me. I'm all in both feet, right? And similar for not all the moms, because you have moms who are addicts, drug addicts, and there's sometimes, you know,
sure.
Bad stuff. But a lot of those moms, when you're looking after their baby, they're all in with both feet. They're like, yeah, I love, and you love me. And that's the thing, it's genuine love. And it's for the least of these. Jesus said that. When you do this for the least of these, you do this for me. So I'm all like, sweet.
So when a mom drops off her little ones, what is a night like in a night care facility?
Sure. So the little baby gets a bath, because they're toddler, because it's dirty. Their environments are super. Then we give them dinner, because a lot of times that's the only meal they have. They have playtime with, you know, age-appropriate toys. Then there's circle time, where we do, like, activities and sing, you know, all that. And then we put them down for bed. They sleep through the night, and moms collect them in the morning when they're done sleeping, and done working.
Wow. Wow. I cannot tell you how grateful I am that there's someone called Sarah Bowling on the earth at this moment, doing what she's doing. And I'm going to tell you how to get hold of Sarah's book, Hanging by a Thread, The Saving Moses Journey. But Sarah talked about when some of these little ones come to the malnutrition clinic, they are just, they're in a desperate place. And what you know about us here at Life is that through our mission feeding, our prayer is to get to some of these little ones before they ever end up in a malnutrition clinic. So would you watch this, and then I'll show you how you can help both of us.
Life Outreach International teams, along with our mission partners, travel the world documenting the needs of families who lack the very basics of life. Without a doubt, Africa's children always tear at the heart of our teams when they see them struggling in extreme circumstances.
I cannot imagine what it would be like to be a mother like this and want desperately to help your child. And this is the hospital, but some of these moms had to walk 10 or 15 kilometers with a seriously malnourished baby just to try and get some help. And if they can get here in time, then there's some hope. But time is everything here, as you can see.
I remember when my brother died. We were hungry and he was so thin. My mom took him to a clinic that was very far away, and he died on the way there.
It is now up to us to do something to help relieve the plight of these little ones. A bowl of food a day provided through our mission feeding program can make the difference between life and death for young children.
But my prayer is that we can save hundreds of other children before they get to this stage. No child should ever get to this stage. No mom should ever have to watch this. So if we do something now, we can stop this from happening.
So, if you're still tuned, still didn't flip the channel, thanks. I know how easy that is, you know? Sometimes we see that kind of devastation and pain and we just want to flip through to something else. But you didn't. You stayed here. So, yay you. We can really make a difference. You know, sometimes it's overwhelming when you see something like that and you think, it's too much. I can't do anything. But that is a lie from the pit of hell. When you feel like you can't do anything, that is just the enemy trying to make you think, just walk away, turn away. But as long as we are the body of Christ on the earth at this moment, we can do something. We've made a commitment here at Life this year to be able to provide nutritious food for 350,000 children. We have amazing partners on the ground, and every time we're with them, we tell them, you know, we will go home and we will tell our people, because I know that you care. I know that so many of you have helped us for so many years, but the need has not gone away. The need has increased. So here's how we break down so that, you know, you and I, you, if you're a teenager watching, or if you're on a very restricted budget. My mom grew up on a widow's pension, very little money, but she always managed to do something more for those who needed help. So $30 will feed three little ones for 3 months. I mean, what can you do here for $30? To think that you could actually put food into the hands and the tummies of three children, not for a week, not for 2 weeks, but for 3 months. $50 will feed five children, $100 will feed 10. And for those of you who've been placed in a better situation and you maybe have some money, you're thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Do you know $1,000 would feed 100 children? That's like a whole village. And these children come to school to get their meal. You know, you've probably seen them there lined up with their red bowls to get their meal, because then it breaks that cycle of poverty that goes from generation to generation. They get an education. Who knows among some of these children that God wants to raise up men and women to impact their nations for Christ? But it starts with you and me. You know, we're going back to Angola soon. And we want to be able to tell our faithful partners on the ground and these moms that have entrusted us with their stories. You know, we took it back and our people, our viewers, heard your story and they care. And we are not just back with us, we are back with help. So please, would you go to your phone and would you just give the best gift you can? And for any gift at all, we're going to send you this beautiful Global Impact Life Journal. You'll see some of our photographers' fantastic photography and place for you to journal. If you're able to give 100, we have a Global Impact Bible, which actually shows the impact of the Word of God on our whole culture. I know you don't do it for the gifts, but please, would you give now?
Mission Feeding began with a promise to be there in times of crisis for thousands of hurting and hungry children in their time of need. Now more than ever, we need your help to save lives by feeding and caring for children across the continent of Africa. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish our supplies to reach the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Your gift of love can be the miracle answer to a desperate mother's prayer. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 that will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Global Impact of Life Journal, This softcover journal includes pictures from the mission field and inspiring scriptures as a reminder of your impact in giving to bless lives around the world. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Global Impact Bible. This English Standard Version presents a fascinating guide to the impact of the best-selling book of all time, filled with quotes from well-known figures, photographs, and reproductions of fine art. It highlights the many surprising ways Scripture has shaped civilization. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, A Mother's Strength. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Here you go, darling. You know, when my son was 5, he saw the appeal on life for these soup bowls, and he began collecting money from his allowance. Here you go, darling. And brought this huge bag of coins to James and Betty, remember? You remember when he brought them into the studio? Because he said, Mom, no kid should go hungry because they simply don't even have a bowl to put their food in. And so we've got to keep this going. I mean, look at the hope. That's a line of hope right there. I've seen a line of despair. I've seen a ward of despair. And what I see here today is a line of joy and hope. And one bowl of food made all the difference. On behalf of the moms and dads of these kids, I just want to say thank you. Hey, baby, there you go. But let's keep it going. Let's make sure there's never a day that these kids line up and we don't have food to give them. Thank you so much. If the lines are busy, please be determined. Keep calling. You know, I said at the top, Sarah, but I meant to. I actually met you through the people who love you, through the people in my life who, like Ralph, who works with our missions, mm-hmm. Janice, who takes her photographs. And it's just been such a delight to meet you and to hear of the work that you're doing. So Hanging by a Thread is out now?
It is. Yeah, people can get it on Amazon anywhere.
Okay, so for any gift at all, we will love to send you Hanging by a Thread by Sarah Bowling, and it will tell you how you can get involved with the Saving Moses journey and make a difference. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
And we'll see you next time on Life Today. God bless.
I didn't forgive her instantly. I wanted to kill her.
Radio and TV host Steve Arterbert opens up about the brokenness in his marriage tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.